We sang some songs here this morning, and I believe they go along with the lesson that I want to bring this morning. And the song that we sang, 341, it says, I must need go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. We that are here today, we are members of the body of Christ. The body of Christ, we have certain responsibilities and certain obligations that God has given us. And each congregation of the Lord, we're going to meet certain challenges. But we must be faithful to the Lord, and we must meet those challenges. But the interesting thing about it is we have God's word to help us to meet those challenges. And I am going to try to share with you the scriptures of our Lord. And these scriptures is going to tell us how to behave, how to do things. And if we fail to do so, we must remember these same words are going to judge us in that last day. And so, let us pay attention to the words of God. And as it has been said from time to time in our prayer, these are God's word. This is what God wants us to know. And so the title, Challenges a Congregation Must Meet. The scriptures that was read, we know it comes from Revelation, but I want you to pay attention to verses 12. Him that overcome will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And this is the message that I would like to try to get across to us today, is the fact that the church of the Lord has a responsibility, but we also have someone that wants to keep us from doing the will of God. And that someone, of course, is the devil. He would like to hinder the gospel of the Lord. And so we know from scriptures that Satan is active. It says, why we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. Satan has a job. His job is to stop us from obeying God. And he does it in many ways. Satan is not a dummy. He's very intelligent. He knows about us. And he knows enough how to be subtle. He knows how to be shrewd in his attempt to obstruct the process of the Lord. And sometimes his ways is really simple. We know God has given us information about Satan. He says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, yes, has God said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? He knew. But he asked the woman, and of course the woman, she gave an answer. We also find here, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, to be a Christian, it is so simple. But that simplicity is what gets some people in trouble. And Satan is going to use everything in his power to do so. The result is that we may attend to certain of the devil's diversity tactics, all the while overlooking some of the things that are really holding us back. There are many challenges that any congregation of Christ must meet in order to serve the Lord faithfully. The main thing that we are to do is to sow the seed. We sing songs. We say, I want to be a worker for the Lord. Are you sowing the seeds of the kingdom? The responsibility of each and every one of us in here is to do the work of the Lord. It requires a constant discipline to stick to our work and let the Lord do His. You know, it's really simple what God tells us to do. And if we do that, He's going to do the rest. But needless to say, people want to do more. Therefore, you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not listen to you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you. We have a picture here in Jeremiah that everybody in the world is not going to accept the word of God. And we are intelligent beings. We know how to read the scriptures. And the scripture tells us not everyone is going to obey God. But that does not stop us from sowing the seed every opportunity that we get. Because God knows the hearts of people. Here's something that I don't know if you thought about, but I have. When you get that opportunity to teach somebody, I believe it's God's providence that He is bringing you and that person together. Now, whether or not that person will accept it, that's not our job. Our job is to preach it. Our job is to know. And like one of the things that have been said, and Bob has been saying it, we need to know about Christ, because that's what we have to teach people. We must teach people Jesus Christ. And if we teach people Jesus Christ and they believe in Jesus Christ, then they will obey. But if they don't obey, there's nothing we can do. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Our job is to plant and water. It is God that gives the increase. We're not supposed to pick and choose who we want to teach the gospel to. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world. The world. That's everywhere, everybody. Any shape, any color. If we have the opportunity, we are to teach. We are to be looking for opportunities to teach somebody. I've said this from time to time, at work, at play. we can talk about any and everything to people. Did you see the football game? Did you see the pageant show? Did you? But do we ever think about how to bring up something about Jesus Christ? We should be formulating a plan right now. How can I share something with somebody about Jesus Christ? If they say this, then here's where I will go. But we need to plant the seed and allow God to give the increase. For it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. It's that simple. We can't plant and we can't water if we don't know what we're doing. That's why we have Bible study. That's why we have Bible class, to teach. But you know, my philosophy is this. You got to do it yourself. You cannot rely on the person that's standing in front of you to teach you what you need to know. You need to know yourself. Everybody almost in this world has a Bible. Most folks in America has a computer. They have put programs that make things simple for us to know. If you want to know about something, you just put it in, and it will tell you in a Bible program how many times it's there. And all we got to do is read it. It's simple. It's not difficult to know what the Bible teaches. Here's the point, and I want you to think about this. The Lord will not want to know how many people we baptize, but the Lord wants to know how many people we left in our community that we never confronted with the gospel. And that's a scary thought. There's people in our neighborhoods. Have we attempted to say anything? Anything whatsoever about them? We make the assumption they won't listen. And it's a possibility they won't listen. But you're never going to know until you ask. We should make this a priority, because our souls may be in jeopardy if we fail to sow the seed. We are constantly tempted by bypass the work of seed sowing, or believe that we are doing enough. But you know, we have to resist that. I thought about this one time. And in most congregations, you have older folks. You have midway folks. And then you got young folks. And sometimes those young folks believe that the only ones that should be coming to service and not missing are those older folks. And the preacher and the deacon or somebody that has a position in the church, they better be there. But me, that younger folk or that middle folk, I don't really have to go all the time, because God understands that. No, Christians are supposed to be at service all the time, irregardless of how old you are. So that means we must resist the fact that it's not my job. It is the preacher's job, or it is this person's job, or it is that person's job. It's all of our jobs. Because you need to remember this. The parable of the talents. If you do not use your talents for the Lord, he's going to take them away. Because if you remember what happened to that one talent man, it was taken away, and it said, weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we all have a responsibility. We need to be a congregation from which the gospel sounds forth. We need to understand that we have an obligation. If we say we are a body of Christ, if we're here to do something for the community, we should be doing it. It shouldn't be a hit and miss. But that's the way it is a lot of times. It is a hit and a miss. We should be thinking of ways all the time to saturate this community, to saturate where we live, where we work, and let people know that God loves them. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. They were aware of those people because they went out and tried to spread the word of God to people. That should be us. A congregation must live above pettiness. Last week, I gave a lesson, and when I looked at the things that the lesson, the scriptures said, and I thought about who was Paul talking to. He was talking to churches. And he tells us we need to be tender-hearted, to put other first. Now, why do you think God is telling congregation to do these things? Because, see, first of all, we came out of the world, and we have those things. Whether or not we realize it, but we have baggage. And he's telling us we must remove the baggage and think like Christ. But a lot of times we are heavy. It requires constant discipline to keep away from itsy-bitsy thinking. You know, we've all heard that congregations have broken up because the color of paint, the seats. We're supposed to be here worshiping God and thinking about how we can get the gospel out, not the beautification of a building, not the creature comforts. We are supposed to be out working. That's the responsibility of a congregation. Selfishness, gossip, factionalism are the bands of the Lord's work in many places. We've heard this. We've come from places that this has happened. That is not to be so. Our job is to be, if we're going to fight, let's fight on how can we get the gospel of the Lord to the people. What each and every one of us can do, that's what we should be fighting for. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. And I'm working very hard on that one. Because we all got minds. We all think that we're something. We all think that we're better than somebody else. But we're told we ought to esteem others better than ourselves. Look not everyone on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's what God wants us to do. I beseech Eutychus, and I beseech whatever that guy's name, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Our job is to think, what does the Lord want me to do? And how can we get it done? Because we remember when the church was persecuted in Jerusalem, wherever they went out spreading the word of God. They knew their responsibility. We need to know ours, and we need to do it. We need a sense of proportion and priorities. It is disastrous to major and minors. We must be able to see the largeness and the importance of the work we are doing in comparison with our own personal concern. Jesus died for you and I. He gave a commission to his apostles, and it's handed down to us. Go and spread the gospel. That is our job. But we can't do it if we don't know how. But I would you should understand, brothers, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the places and in all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confidence by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely supporting to add affliction to my bond, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therefore do rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. People are out there preaching Christ in many ways. As Paul said, for selfishness. But we need to know how to dispute folks that's preaching Christ wrongly. We got to know, thus says the Lord, so we can speak boldly for the defense of Christ. The Lord's work is about cooperation. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We should all be of the same mind. If we see a problem in this congregation, we all should be working on it to resolve it. Not just let it be the preacher's job or certain individuals. We all should be working on that same problem together. Why? To bring back those individuals that are in error or in sin. Because we are our brother's keepers. Now, we're going to look at that togetherness in Ephesians. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows to an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for an inhabitation of God through the Spirit. We all became Christians the same way, by believing and obeying. We are part of a team. This congregation should not work well without any member doing their job. If one member is not doing its job, we should rally around and help. But you know, a lot of times, and I've experienced this, if there's someone in error, and we know it, and everybody knows it, we say nothing until it gets to a point that that person finally leaves, and then we say, well, what should we do? You know, if we are together with one another as we should be, and someone is falling short, we should say something right then and there that you're falling short. straighten up. We are a team. But sometimes we don't do that, but it's telling us we all are built together. And if this congregation is going to be strong, we all got to work together. Not as individuals, but as a team. For whom the whole body fit joined it together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Think about our human body. Now, yes, we can do without certain parts of the body, but it puts a burden on the other parts of the body. We are a team, and a team works together to get the job done. And if it sees one part of the body not liking, we come to the rescue. That's the way it should be. But that's not the way it is, because sometimes we still have that world in us. A congregation must believe it can make a difference in its community. And we say this all the time. We want to do something for the community. We want to do something for the community. But think about it, folks. What are we doing? Are we truly trying to make a difference in this community? And I'm speaking for myself. It requires constant discipline to be confident we can bring about sufficient change for good where we live. Without some hope, desire plus expectation, our work will cease altogether. And you know, we all procrastinate. We all say, I'll get around to it. And before you know it, we never do. When Christ set before us an open door, no one can shut it. Christ has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. Each and every one of us, if we put our minds and hearts to studying the Bible, we have nothing to be fearful of when we confront somebody that don't know the Bible or they misrepresent the Bible. We have the truth. And as it says here, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door. And no man can shut it, for you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. With the Lord, we can do anything. But we have to have that confidence. I am not afraid. I am not afraid, as Paul said, of the gospel of Christ. And we have to show that, not in arrogance, but we have to show that we know what the Bible says. We simply must keep in mind that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Now, this scripture, I found that the Pentecostal like to use this. And I believe they truly abuse this. But think about this. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan is out there. But if we follow Jesus, do his will, Jesus is going to help us to get through. We have to have that confidence that Jesus is greater than the devil. But here's something else to help us. And Bob mentioned this in his prayer. When we read in Genesis, and God said, let there be, and it was. Now, do you think the devil is going to win? Do you think the devil is going to win over God? But you got to have the confidence, and you got to stay in God. And if you do that, you will prevail. A congregation must maintain gratitude for its blessedness. We pray, and God has answered our prayer in behalf of one another in here. We have Johnny and Dolores with us. We have Teresa, and we have other members that have sickness, that they are able to come and serve God. We need to thank God all the time for them. It requires constant discipline to emphasize the positive rather than the negative aspect of our congregational situation. You know, we should be so proud of this congregation is that we, when we invite folks, we're not ashamed because we got the best folks here. And we want those folks from the outside to see everybody in here because we are a people that are trying to worship God the way he says and trying to do what God says. Few congregations have had more problems than Corinth, yet there were still things to be thankful for. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called to the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know the problems that Corinth had. A scriptural congregation is a thankful congregation. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We must determine to meet these challenges successfully. How can we do it? How can we get the word to others? You know, my point of view is this. We come here because we have been commanded to come here and partake of the Lord's Supper, to worship God, and to get the edification to go out into the world to teach others. And every time somebody comes up here and preach and teach and show us, we should get something from it that we can take out into that world and tell somebody. Because the world out there does not know God the way we know God. If they know God, it's a little off kilter. And we have to bring it back into focus. But we have to be willing to do that. How long ago did we hear the word that Johnny, when he was in prison, he was teaching people? And some of you went there and sang songs. Just think about the effect that had on those people. And hopefully, Johnny is continually trying to do that. But it was an opportunity, and he used it. That should be us. When an opportunity is there, we use it. Like that song that we sang. That was, how did it go? Who was a here am I, Lord? Is that us? When the Lord calls and tells us to do we say, here am I, send me? Or do we say, well, send Bob, send Greg, send somebody, I'm too busy. I got the plan for this. I got to do this. I don't have time. Well, you know, you may not have time for heaven either. We should say, send me. It is true, congregationally as well as individually, that with every temptation there is a way of escape. And God provides a way of escape. There is no temptation taking you by such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And if we believe that, when temptation comes, we can escape. Because we have seen in the Bible, individuals, when temptation was there, they ran. But we have also saw when temptations came, others succumbed to it. But God provides a way. Are we going to take it? There's many other things that we can share about challenges of a congregation. This is our congregation. We have a responsibility to serve the Lord. We have a responsibility for this community. We have a responsibility where we live. Are we going to jump to the challenge and do what God wants? Remember, God, he does keep a scorecard. He does know what we have done, even though we may have forgotten. God don't. So let us do our job. Let us go and at least attempt to get the gospel to those we come in contact with. I hope you got something from this lesson. But if you have any needs of this congregation, we ask that you make it known as we stand and sing.